Glorified, you are glorified in our midst. Every day we walk as Christians, doing your work in the land and reaching more souls through a good conduct and with the preaching of your word. Thank you. Amen. Amen. So we're looking at the being a Christian every day. I'll round up today. So now we'll get to look at some other things. We'll round up today. But every other thing I want to say will be the next teaching will take up some other things that I was supposed to talk about in this series. But it's better fitted there than here. Yeah. Amen. So looking at being a Christian every day, we say the life of a believer, Acts 2. Acts 2 verses 42, he said the lifestyle of a believer is a life of continuity. He said, and they continue steadfastly. Right? Hallelujah. Amen. They continue steadfastly. That's the word prokasterio. Steadfastly. To do something over and again. They continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, in the breaking of bread. In the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers, they continued. So we said the life of the believer is deals with continuing. Acts 1:14. It says, and this all continued with one accord in prayer. They continued in one accord. So that's the lifestyle of the believer. Watch, they were praying in Acts 1. They continued praying. In Acts 2, they were praying. Did you see that? So it was a lifestyle. Amen. So I told us that that's where we get the word routine from, right? So they had a routine of praying. They had a routine. So the lifestyle of the believer is a life of routine. With routine comes boredom. We've dealt with boredom. With routine comes boredom. Right? Right? Amen. Amen. With routine comes boredom. Now, that boredom, right? I told you what you do to boredom is to stay with boredom. What you do to boredom is to stay with boredom. Boredom is part of it. Amen. Amen. You don't try to fight it. Now, the reason why people try to bring in innovation is because they don't know boredom. Boredom comes with routine. Did you see that? So that's not a believer life of routine. Boredom will come in, but you have to stay with it. Stay with the routine. Hallelujah. There will be that temptation of wanting to do something new, hearing something new, especially hearing something new. Things that are fanciful to the ears. Hear something new. No. You will stay with routine. Amen. Stay with routine. Stay with routine. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, there was a time like that. There was a sister that was being followed up. Followed up every day. And she was being called upon, have you prayed? Did you do evangelism? Every day. So one day she fled up. Well, you're not even asking me how I'm surviving. Watch it. You're not asking me how I'm surviving. If I'm surviving. Amen. So let's ask me, have you prayed? Have you done evangelism? Did you see that? What do you think has happened? Boredom. Automatically I can tell you she has stopped praying. Amen? It's not about me. Even ask me how I'm surviving. Who is not surviving? even the La Presse to the government is surviving. Even the press man is surviving. So who is not surviving? Who is not? But something is more important than that. Right? Right? Glory to God. I could lose everything, but I mustn't lose my prayer life. I mustn't lose my routine. If I don't lose my routine, I've not lost anything. Am I hearing me? If I don't lose my routine, I've not lost anything. It's not a joke. Hello? But when I gain everything and I lose my routine, I've lost everything. Hope I follow you. If I gain, I'm having the money and I lose my routine, I'm going to put this up. Just like the way I've said it, let anybody want to take it as a cliche, take it up. Amen. But if I lose my routine, right? If I lose my routine and I gain the world, I've lost everything. You have all been miserable to have lost your routine, because the lifestyle of the believer is a life of routine. Right? So we asked, we said something, we said, therefore, who is a Christian? Or what does it mean, the word Christian? What does it mean, Christian? Now we said they were first called Christian at where? Antioch. Right? Right? So I say the word of mockery. I'm just doing, I told you I'll do a revision of it, of what I've told you. So it's called mockery. They were called mockery. Calm down. Why would you say it was a word of mockery? I've taught that before. Amen. I've taught it well. Now we shouldn't answer Christian, we should answer Christ. I've taught it before. I call on the church not to answer Christians. It's a word name of mockery. But like Yoruba will say, "E farabale." I understand your pain, right? But let's look at it again. Sometimes it's just take away your sentiment. Let's look at it again. Was it the first time they've been implied, or they implied them to be Christians without calling them Christians? No. Amen. Amen. At some point they saw Peter and John and they said they were not lettered, but they took note that they've been with who? With Jesus. So how did they take note? That means they've seen them as who? As what? Christian. What does it mean to be Christian? Christian means Christ alike. That's just the meaning. So leave your anger one side. Christians means Christ alike. Amen. Amen. Christianos, yeah. So, it's Christ alike. So, if it is Christ alike, listen, they took note that they are like Christ. They thought like Christ, right? The same thing to the church in Antioch, they saw that Antioch is not in Jerusalem. Neither is it in Israel. It is in Asia, right? Right? Now watch. But how did they know Christ to call them Christians? They knew Christ because they've seen it in their teaching, in their message. So that means what they saw in their lives, right? What they saw in their lives was a reflection of what they thought about the Christ. Did you see that? So they saw that attitude and they said, oh, these are Christ alike. Are you following me? Amen? Christ alike. And then we answered again to say, does that mean, okay, you say, we are Christ. Calm down, calm down, calm down, calm down. Don't enjoy yourself. Right? Right? You think, Lord, I want to be more like you. Right? I want to be the vessel you walk through. I want to be more like you. Four topics. Amen. The Christ, the life we live not unto ourselves. This is that? But unto Him who died for us. This is that? That means what kind of life do we live? We live the Christ life, right? So what does that make us? Christians. Okay, maybe the Christian is the problem. That makes us what? Christ alike. Is that not Christians? So calm down. Leave your anger one side and look at it. Amen. Even Peter. I showed you Peter. Said if you suffer, don't suffer as a thief. Amen. The good suffering is suffer as a Christian. You see that? Amen. Come on. He said, if you suffer, don't suffer as a thief. Or this. He said, but when you suffer as a Christian. If you suffer as a Christian, you do well. Peter said it. That means they later adopted the name, because the name was in consonance with their reality. They are Christians. Amen. Was that the first time man would give a name to what God has done and God will approve of it? No. Right? We saw manna. We saw in Genesis, man called things and it was. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. So, I said the life of that Christian is a life of routine. We saw routine in prayer. Jesus had a routine of prayer. He prays all the time. He prays every time. We saw that routine in him. And then we have instructions to pray all the time. Did you see that? We have instructions also to pray all the time. We have that routine. And I told you the importance of praying early, right? We have morning devotion. We have that importance of praying early. To rise up early to pray. We saw all that. We also saw fasting. Fasting, the importance of fasting. Christian, right? Being a Christian every day. So being a Christian every day is that I must have a routine of prayer, right? I must have a routine of fasting, putting God's word on my lips, right? Right? So the life of the Christian is not just live when we are in church. I thought to say that to us today. The life of the Christian is not just lived when we are in church. And when we leave the church, we throw away the cap of a Christian and become like those in the world. The life of a Christian is lived when we are in church and also when we are not in church. What are you hearing me? The life of a Christian is not lived when you see your pastor alone. Amen? Or when you say, pastor is watching. No. The life of a Christian is lived every... In fact, it's much more important when you leave this door. Hallelujah. Glory to God. We're going to look at something very vital tonight as we round up this teaching. Glory to God. The life of a Christian. So we said, you put God's word on your lips, right? You feed on God's word. I spoke about that extensively last week Thursday, to feed on God's word actively. Actively. You're a Christian. You feed on God's word. Feeding on God's word doesn't just mean you listen to it alone. You listen to it and then you act upon it. You listen to it and then you act upon it. Amen. You act upon it. And acting upon it also includes that you will have to meditate on it. Meditation deals with thinking over it, putting it in your heart, let it be in your thoughts, put it on your lips. Hallelujah. You are meditating on God's word. You are applying it to your life. Hope you're hearing me. You're applying it to your life. I'm born again. I'm born of God. Glory to God. Where you think the believer doesn't have a weakness. The believer doesn't have any weakness. So they also, what are your weaknesses? I remember going for an interview and they asked me, what are your weaknesses? And I smiled. I said, I don't have a weakness. That sounds very funny. Yeah, I said, I don't have a weakness. I said, no. And I explain now. He says, to me, if I say to you, you see it as a weakness. So that's why I said, I don't have a weakness. He said, then they now ask, what is that? I said, okay. You know, when you go for interview, you tell all the lies in the world just to get the job. And when you get the job, we see your real color. You see, I tell them, I'm so much of a workaholic that I have no time to balance. I have practiced that thing more than a million times. That was my first job. You know the kind of interview question I practiced. What are your strengths? What are your weaknesses? What are your strengths? Motivation. You have to cook something. So I went there prepared. I said, what are your weaknesses? I said, well, I don't have weakness there. I said, no. When I tell you what my weaknesses are, so you might not stand as a weakness. Say, okay, let's hear it. I said, well, I'm so much of a workaholic that my head, I just say, oh, Jesus, that I have no time. Oh, sorry, we have an employer of labor here. And I say, we've employed this guy, he's a workaholic. And then he joins the job and doesn't add anything to the bottom line. For 1 year. Yeah? I say, that I don't know how to balance between work and pleasure. Me that when I left that place, I went to play the Jesus. Nigeria. There's a pastor, did you do that? I did, you know. I'm reading open confession. I'm not working there again. So they cannot sack me. I've left. Okay. The guy now asked me a question. I said, where were you last night? I said, I was reading and preparing for this exam, for this interview. See, what do your friend usually complain about you? In my head, I said, this guy wants to run cross. He doesn't know my name is Matt. I said, okay. My friend always complains I don't come to visit them. He said, oh, what were you 2 days ago? He said, I was reading a book called T. Lucy, Quantitative Technique. I read all through the evening and okay. In my head, I was like, cancel, be here. Did you want to catch me on this thing? You know what you're saying? You're trying to run cross-check on whether I really don't have time for pleasure. If you know the amount of games I had on my phone, I was playing for I was playing games before my turn. You're asking me rubbish. And then I said, oh, good. Nonsense. I beg. Amen. So, the first time somebody now had wedding in my team, I didn't go. The second time, So the person I intervened, I said, you didn't come for a wedding. You come for the wedding. I said, yeah, I told you now. I'm so much of a workaholic. We're having a meeting on Saturdays. Time for pleasure. Nonsense. Let's continue. So, how did I even get into this very funny story? This is a very, very... Hey, the believer does not have weakness. Why I remember that rubbish? This was years back. Some of you have seen in secondary school. Oh, that was 2012, yeah. 2012, since secondary school, yeah. That's like 12 years ago. More than 12 years. 12 years plus. Amen. But let's continue. So, he doesn't have weakness. No. The man in Christ is a perfect being. Amen. But what happened is that the believer has areas in their lives, right, that they've not allowed God's light to shine. So don't see it as a weakness. Hope you're hearing me. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. So one time in 2014, somebody came to meet me, and in fact, even when I was in school, I've heard somebody, believers who come to meet me about some weaknesses that they had in the flesh, weaknesses. And I told them, see, the way I even responded to one, the bad person was shocked. I said, no, okay, this is what you should do. But the advice I gave to that person, I can't give it again today. Right? Because I've grown in God's word, which is expected though. But you know, the believer doesn't have a weakness. What the believer has, or what can happen is that the believer can have things or places in his life where he hitherto has struggled. Now, that struggling is not weakness. That struggling is part of his life where he has not allowed God's light to shine. You see that? He has not allowed God's light to shine. Yes, not. Maybe a believer that tells big lies. He can sell Africa. Or a believer that steals. Still he says, sorry, sir. I don't know. I just steal is an involuntary action, sir. I don't usually think anything don't happen. I think I'm a clef. It's not only clef, it's clap. I think I'm a kleptomania. It's not the kleptomania. Come, let me left your ear. He says kleptomania. I'm not kleptomania, it's thief. But stealing, he says, my weakness. No, it's not your weakness. When it is your weakness, you won't come out of it. Amen. It's an area of your life you need God's light to shine. So what you did, you have to feed on God's word on that area of your life. Hope you hear me. You feed on God's word. You allow God's light to shine on it. Amen. Amen. And it starts by hearing God's word, meditating on it, and saying God's word. What does God's word say concerning that thing? You say it to yourself. Amen. Amen. And then you tell yourself, I don't steal, right? I'm not a thief. I don't steal. I'm not a clap. I'm not a kleptomania. I don't steal. No. Amen. I labor with my hands to give. Did you see that? I'm saying God's word. Hallelujah. I labor with my hands to give. Glory to God. I'm a giver. I don't take from people. I give to people. I'm a blessing. Amen. Amen. I don't steal. You call your name smart. I'm not a thief. I give. I don't take from people. I bless. Did you see that? Glory to God. You are actively shedding God's light on that part of your life. Glory to God. Amen. Stealing is walking in the flesh. You say, I don't walk in the flesh. I walk in the spirit. Amen. I'm full of love. I bless. I give. I don't take from people. I'm born of the spirit. I'm born of the spirit. I walk in the spirit. You are actively feeding on God's word. Now, you are not hearing. That's not the time to hear message. I mean, sorry. This is different from hearing a message. You've heard a message. Right? Right? Concerning walking in the spirit. You've listened to a message. Now, you are now actively acting on that message you've listened to. Hope you're hearing me. The message might not necessarily speak directly to that issue about stealing. But the message is about born of the spirit, for example. Right? You use the message of inward witness. And the pastor said, you are born again. You are born in the spirit. Right? You are born of the spirit. Right? You are spiritual. Now you are saying that to yourself, I smart. I've listened to the message and now I'm acting on it. I smart, I'm spiritual. I smart, I walk in the spirit. The things of the spirit are not alien to me. The things of the spirit are not alien to me. I walk in it, so I walk in my own. Right? Therefore, stealing, which is a part where I have a weakness, stealing is not walking in the spirit. It's walking in the flesh. I'm not in the flesh. I'm in the spirit. Therefore, I don't steal. Rather than steal, I give. I bless. Smart doesn't steal. Smart bless. I'm saying it actively. I'm shedding God's light there. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean it's going to happen immediately, right? But I keep doing it. I keep saying it actively. And that is why you find me say things like this then, and I keep saying it. Nobody, no believer does what is wrong and enjoy doing it. But one way to come out of doing what is wrong is actively feeding on God's word. I think many believers, including myself and all of us, need to learn this. To actively feed on God's word. Actively. Amen. What do you do after you don't listen to a message and writing down notes? To actively feed on God's word. What are you hearing me? You actively feed on God's word. For yourself. Watch yourself. Maybe it's anger. You say to yourself, I will not be angry. I told you guys, I hate hitting, staying on the door. Anyway, you're staying on the door and I hate it. I like when I get a response immediately. I hate. So, actively, I started saying, no, I'm born again. I shouldn't allow the devil on this. Actively, I keep saying it. So when I'm coming home, if I'm coming home, I know that, okay, the door might be locked. Right? I don't want to get angry. So I'll say, no, I will not be angry. I'll say it consciously, I will not be angry. I'm born of the spirit. Anger doesn't rule me. Your pastor, I'm saying it consistently. It's not a joke. Don't think I'm one robot from the sky. I'm human. And God's word also, I have to feed actively on it. If not, I'll become a signboard to you. So what I'm telling you is what I do. What are you hearing me? When I see this is an issue that needs a correction, I begin to feed on it. There should be no time you should stop feeding on God's word. Many times, it's not only when there's an issue that you want to feed. Oh, let me share. Sometimes you are done hearing God's word. Now you will not want to feed on it. Not because there's an issue. Remember, I told you, you don't eat because you are hungry. Did you see that? You eat because you need to eat. So you feed on God's word not because there's a problem. You feed on God's word because you have to feed on God's word. Hope you're hearing me. Amen. Glory to God. Let's get into something tonight. That's wrong. True. And it's just a little on murmuring. Murmuring. What's a murmuring? Something that's very soon or in our world today is becoming a norm. Murmur. Hallelujah. Numbers chapter 14. This is a clear case of murmur. Before we put it in number 14, let's see what how laughter interpreters Paul spoke about what happened in Numbers 14 that will come back to read. Numbers 13 into 14 do come out to read. 1 Corinthians 5. Let's see Paul. Are you there? First Corinthians 10, sorry. I say 5. 10. Sorry. He says, "I thought we were there, but with them, verse 5, he says, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." Now let's see what happened. These things were our examples to pose. Our examples means to pose. To pose means if it has happened before, it can happen again. Amen. There are samples for us not to do it. To be hinted that we shouldn't lust after evil things, as they also lust. Be idolatrous as some of them were, and it was written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpent. Neither murmur. Amen. This is a direct verbiage of Numbers 14. As some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Amen. Neither let us murmur. Murmuring is not a fruit of the Spirit. Murmuring. Not a fruit of the Spirit. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Quickly. Show you that. Galatians 5. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Idolatry, fornication, uncleanness, idolatry, witchcraft, is it hatred, variance, emulation, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, right? Murdering, drunkenness, rebellion, and such. Tell you before, prototype, as they that do this will not inherit the kingdom. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. Okay. I'll get back to that. I thought I saw that somewhere. Okay. So, it's not a fruit of the Spirit. Glory to God. Murmuring is not a fruit of the Spirit. It's not at all. Not a fruit of the Spirit. Where you just sit and then you are. Now, murmuring graduates. Amen. You know, when you are a child. They do something like this. They call you, for example, they call you Femi, Femi, Femi. You know, you do something like him. You know? Yeah. That's murmuring. Hope you know that. Yeah? Oh, yes, you are murmuring. Hope you know that. Ah, your common third daughter. Because you cannot do it in front of your mom. You can't even try with my mother. As you are doing it, you receive an unavailable call. A call to order. The call will resound that you ask for a redial. So, you just go to the room. Oh, every time, that is murmuring when you are under your parents. It graduates you when you are now making small money. Right? At this time, okay, you are now daddy or mommy. Or you're now in your house and then you have brethren around you or your brothers and sisters. You're making money. You know, you how many of you will still do this kind of, you can't do it again now. I am overgrown baby. So the way we now murmur has now changed. Amen. Amen. No. It's murmuring. Can't you hear? Let me go. It's murmuring. Amen. It's murmuring. Have I not told you? Have I told you?
Oh, stop it.
Please, can I do it? He's in the office. Stop it. Murmuring. That is adult murmuring. Or is still murmuring? What are you doing? It's murmuring. Or when you don't join people to say things, murmuring. To speak against. Hallelujah. Now, watch this. Now, in Numbers 14, hear this. Spies went to survey. And they came back with the report. Hey! Pastor Moses now said, all the spies to speak openly. So people say, we saw the land. Never they give in. But we are like bread. They would deal with us. We are like grasshoppers, rather. And everybody began to say, Moses, you brought us to kill us. Right? Moses, you brought us to kill us. Want to kill us. And sometimes, right, it looks legit. You know, their own cry was legit. They heard something. Right? It looks legit. He brought us to kill us. I'm just saying, my own mind, just a logical complaint. Logical. Those guys have sophisticated weapons. I want us to go and overtake them. You know the kind of cars that they used to drive? The clothes we came with from Egypt, we are still wearing it now. These guys are wearing Gucci. Did you see that? I don't know what I'm saying. I said, we can go and overtake them. Those guys are using AK. You will not tell them we're coming in the name of the Lord. Do you know one AK-47 can kill 100 people? Tell them to begin to analyze. One AK-47 can kill 100 people within 10 seconds. So you are coming in the name of who? Moses, he brought us to kill us. Moses brought us to kill us. Now with one voice, they began to cry. About 3 million people. 3 million men stood at their door and began to cry one voice. And you are the pastor. Amen. Cry doesn't mean they were not crying. Tell us. What I mean cry? It means they began to grumble. Everybody can just bring out place in the night. In the number 14, he says, and all the congregation of Israel lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. Did you see that? They just bring up plates, iron plates with iron fork. Hey, what is that? You see, they began to cry. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Stop! Did you see the murmur against God? Is the murmur against God? No. Against Moses and against Aaron. Mark that, because we're going to get back to it. When God was to respond, you see how God responded. And they said, all manner of rubbish. They said, Moses brought us to kill us. Say, Moses, your plan. We've seen your plan. You see your plan? You promise us you promise us! We're hoping! You dashed our hope. Moses! And they said, amen. Amen. They Moses tried to beg, they didn't hear. They kept talking. Hallelujah. Amen. Look at verse 2. It says, would God that we all die in the wilderness. You see that? And Lord brought us into this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and our children should pray. Were it not better for us to return to Egypt? I said to one another, let us make a captain and let's return to Egypt. And Moses and Aaron began to beg him. And let's see God's reply. Amen. Now they tried to steal them in verse 9, then verse 10, all the congregation big stones. When they tried to talk to them, no, it's not like that. Look at what scripture says. They carried stones. This is another level of murmuring. To carry stone. When you are grumbled, no, not carry stone. Can't you hear me? Can't you hear? You have to let me hear. Caution is out of the wind. Or you throw caution to the wind. Fire! The carry stone. They remember, they saw the glory of God through the hands of Moses. They forgot it. That's what memory would do. Memory will make you act beside yourself and make you act outside who you are. That's why the believers are warned against memory. We are warned not to memory. Hallelujah. In the place of memory, you say rubbish. What is it God said? How is why me? I'll never marry a man of God. How is why me? Wow. God forbid bad thing. Ah! Ain't it your mouth? Glory to God. Amen. He carried stone. And the Lord said to Moses, verse 11, how long will these people provoke me? Hallelujah. And the Lord began to rebuke. And look at verses 25. I mean, verses 26. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, how long will I bear this evil congregation? Which murmur against me? Did you see that? Who did they murmur against in verse 2? Moses and Aaron. But the Lord said, they murmured against me. I've heard the murmuring. So that means God hears. Hear me, brethren. Church. God hears. Whether it's murmuring, right? Or you're acting in faith, God hears. If you know God hears, how would you speak? If you know God hears, how will you speak? You know, enjoying people. Now today, murmuring has moved from not just talking. It's not typing. So people don't type. It's murmuring, no? Hope you know that. You are murmuring with your keypad. Murmuring with your keypad. I'm not talking about tapping. Those who are tapping, what they are tapping. That is no word. I say you are murmuring with your keypad. No, that is different. He's tapping. You are murmuring with your keypad. And are we looking for 14,000, 20,000? This is 120,000. Amen. Amen. But God here, that's what you can see. Amen. He says, say to them, assuredly said the Lord, as you have spoken in my ears, so will I do unto you. He says, your carcasses will fall in the wilderness, and all that were numbered of you, according to your own number, from 20 years old and upward, which have murmured against me, doubtless ye shall not come into the land, concerning which I swear to make you dwell therein, save Caleb, the son of Zephunim, and Joshua, the son of Nun. Do you know that? This that you can read down. God said they will not enter. Why? Because they murmured. To speak against. To speak grumbling. Using grumbling words to speak. Hallelujah. No, you don't do that. Hallelujah. God hears. Over here, me. God does what? God does what? Yeah. Because of you said there's hardship. You said there's hardship. Now say, God wants to kill us. You're murmuring. Hallelujah. God wants to kill us. Oh, grumbling. Sometimes, like I said, it could be legit. Your grumbling, your murmuring in the ears of men looks reasonable. That's what I mean, legit. Looks reasonable. Hey, it makes sense. But it's grumbling. Once you are speaking against God's word, speaking against God's will, plan and purpose, aggressively, I said, no, 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 no. You are murmuring. Hallelujah. And God hears. Glory to God. But tonight I tell you, what is the opposite of murmuring? The opposite of murmuring is thanksgiving. So rather than murmur, God wants you to thank, to be thankful. God wants you to be thankful. While I'm murmuring, God wants you to be thankful. Just give thanks to the Lord. He wants you to be thankful. Amen. God wants you to be thankful. In 1 Thessalonians, let's see some instructions as regards thanksgiving. In 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5. Verse 18. It's easy. As I know, verse 16. Say, rejoice forevermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Say, in everything. In everything. This is the church that he spoke to concerning persecution. In chapter 1, chapter 2. He spoke to them about persecution at the face. Amen. Amen. So it's a church that is going through persecution also. Hallelujah. And then he told them to be what? To be what? Thankful. He said, in everything, give thanks. In all things. Hallelujah. In all things, give thanks. In all things. Not some things. Whether it's good or it's bad. So that means my giving thanks is not because of the situations around me physically. It's not because of what the economy is saying I should give thanks. Amen. It's not because money entered my account with that. Why I should give thanks. Hallelujah. I should give thanks always. If I should give thanks always, it therefore means that my reason for giving thanks is not first tied to physical things. We're going to see that. Amen. My reason for giving thanks is not first tied to physical things. It's good when things happen good in the natural, you give thanks, right? Right? But my reason for giving thanks first is not tied to physical things. He said, give thanks always. Meaning, whether it be good or it be bad. Hallelujah. Whether it's going right or it's not going right, I just give thanks. Glory to God. If you give thanks only when things are good, then you've not understood what it means to give thanks. Even when things are hard, when things are bad, in quotes, you're going through persecution and you lift your hands to give thanks. Amen. Amen. You lift your hands to give thanks. Father, thank you. Amen. You can see death. You are that boy. I say, Father, thank you. Thank you. Oh, thank you for what, for who you are. Thank you. I say, you know, that's the hardest for everyone to say, No. Amen. Many times, the reason why it's hard for some people to give thanks, not because it is hard, is because they've not been taught right. They think you only give thanks for when things are going on nice in the natural. So when they are not going on right in the natural, they begin to complain. No, the believer is not that way. The believer is supposed to give thanks always. What about you hearing me? Always. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Supposed to give thanks how? Always. Always. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Look at Hebrews chapter 13. Always. Verse 5. He said, but, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, say giving thanks unto his name. You see that instruction? Amen. The fruit of our lips, giving thanks. You have that instruction to give thanks. So giving thanks is an instruction. Glory to God. An instruction is not conditional. It's an instruction you have to obey. Hallelujah. To give thanks. So rather than me murmuring, I should give thanks. Did you see that? So to remain murmuring, I should give thanks. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Colossians 4 verse 2, we know. We've always been here. Let's see that. Colossians 4 to say, continue prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. This is that thanksgiving. Something very vital you need to see is Philippians 4, 6 quickly. Philippians 4, 6. He said, be careful for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known. Amen. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. You're thanking God. Glory to God. You're thanking Him. Just thanking Him. Glory to God. A heart of thanksgiving. That's what a believer should always have. The believer doesn't wear the economic situation on his shoulder. Hope you're hearing me. It's not that he doesn't see it. It's not that he doesn't feel it. But you know, there's something else to carry. Hope you're hearing me. Amen. Be full of thanksgiving. There is some way that they load you. They carry. Nobody your own. People like to carry load that is not their own. The weight of the economy you're putting on your shoulder. When you're not even the GCFR. You may put it on your shoulder. Always complain. Ah, this dollar. What is even wrong? Fuel price? In the kind of rubbish country is this? You see yourself? Look at how Mummy is going. He's carrying you to where you don't know. Mummy. Amen. But in the midst of it, you are seeing the news, the flashes of the news, and you are saying, Father, thank you. Thank you. Amen. There's economic crisis, everything is hitting hard. And you hear someone got born again. Say, oh, Father, thank you. Oh, finally, Joseph is born again. Thank you, Lord. Amen. And you're, what's wrong with you? You're thankful. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. There's economy. I hear it. The word of God is from a brother is doing a meeting in another state. And people got saved. Miracles happened. And you say, Father, thank you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Maybe you've not eaten. This morning I say, Father, thank you. Oh, I see. Not you, I see food. I see the nation. Hallelujah. You are full of thanksgiving. You are full of thanksgiving. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hope you're following me. Hope you're following me. Amen. In everything, by prayer, supplication with thanksgiving. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory, glory, glory. So what do we thank God for? I just want to round up right now. No time. Psalms 118. What do we thank God for? I love a song one of a dear man of God sang years back. Psalms 118. Are you there? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. You know? Okay, let's read verse 1. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good. Because, what happened? His mercies endure forever. What is his mercies? What is his mercies? What is his mercies? Huh? Is what? Forgiveness of sins, his spirit, what he has done in Christ Jesus is forever. Hallelujah. You see that? So what do I thank God for? Eternal truth. My reality in Christ. You see that? Thank God for eternal truth, my reality in Christ. What is doing in the earth today? His mercies endure forever. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 2, he said, let Israel now say that his mercy endures forever. Verse 3, he said, let the house of Israel now say that his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 4, let them now that fear the Lord say that his mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. 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 Then I call upon the Lord and distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side. I shall not fear. What shall men do unto me? Hallelujah. Amen. His mercies endures forever. Hallelujah. Look at verses 29. Verses 29 quickly. Glory to God. His mercy endures forever. It doesn't matter what men say, what men do. His mercy. So that means what is happening in the natural. Hallelujah. Good or bad. Right? Right? Bad or good. Doesn't stop me from giving thanks. Hallelujah. Over the enemy. Hallelujah. They caught the disciples of Jesus. In Acts of Apostles chapter 5, the Bible says they flogged them with several stripes. And when they were let go, the Bible says they rejoiced. You know, that was a bad situation, but they rejoiced. That they are worthy. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Look at verse 29 now. Glory, glory, glory. Verse 29. Amen. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy. What he has done in Christ. What he's doing in the earth today. His mercy endures forever. Hallelujah. What he's doing in the earth, he endures forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I look and I see what God is doing in the earth. The atheists have been saved. Those who are in darkness have been drawn into light. I see it in the nation of the world. The agnostic people are getting saved. Men who are living in confusion are getting saved. And I say, thank you, Lord. It doesn't matter what is happening in the economy. I don't see it. What I see is what God is doing. And I say, thank you, Lord. I'm full of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. This is who the believer is. You're on the road and you are just rejoicing. They say, can't you, have you bought bread? You say, praise the Lord. For his mercy is endured forever. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what happens in the economy, what happens in the world. It doesn't matter how the things turn in the natural. I just keep saying, praise the Lord. For his mercy is endured forever. It doesn't matter who doesn't like my face or who likes my face. Who says I'm their friend and who says I'm not their friend. I just lift my hands and say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I just praise the Lord. His mercies endure forever. Hallelujah. His mercies endure forever means the sinners will come to light. That is what he is doing. And I'm thanking God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We must be full of thanksgiving. We must be full. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's thank the Lord. No, be full of thanksgiving. You see, thanksgiving means, thanksgiving doesn't come with a heart of grief. It's a cheerful heart. Hallelujah. No grief. Father, thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You know what it means to be full of thanksgiving? You just got a news, for example. Or maybe you are in a grieving state. You just lost someone. And you know you are crying. And somebody has just got a news. Somebody you've been praying for to get born again. And you just heard that. Ah! Timo is now saved. Timo is speaking in tongues. You quickly switch. He's not born again. He says, let me be born again. We'll come and then go. No! You say, Father, thank you! Ha ha! His mercy is endure That's what God is doing. That's what God is doing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm full of thanksgiving. I'm full of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Psalms 136 verses 6. Okay, verses 1 also. Psalms 136 verses 1. Let's round up now. We'll round up from... Okay, we'll take a few more. The 136 verses 1 says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord for his good. For his mercies endure forever. Did you see that? Hallelujah. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord for unto the God of gods. For his mercies endure forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords. For his mercies endure forever. To him who alone does great wonders. For his mercies endure forever. To him by wisdom made the heavens. For his mercies endure forever. Did you see this? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That to him has stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercies endure forever. To him that made the great light, for his mercies endure forever. To set the sun to rule the day, for his mercies endure forever. And the star, and the moon and the stars to rule over night, for his mercies endure forever. For him, that means to him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, by his mercies endure. Amen. For his mercies endure forever. And brought out Israel from amongst them. For his mercies endure forever. Did you see that? Hallelujah. With a strong arm. With an outstretched arm. For his mercies endure forever. To him that divided the Red Sea into paths. For his mercies endure forever. He made the Israel to pass through the midst of it. For his mercies endure forever. He brought over true Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea. For his mercies endure forever. To him who led his people through the wilderness. For his mercies endure forever. To him who smote the great kings of for his mercies endure forever. He said, and slew the famous kings. For his mercies endure forever. He said, Shinon king of the Amorites. For his mercies endure forever. And Og, the king of of Bashan. For his mercies endure forever. And gave their land for an inheritance. For his mercies endure forever. Even an inheritance unto Israel, his servant. For his mercies endure forever. Look at verse 26. He said, oh, give thanks unto the God of heavens for his mercies endure forever. This is mercy. His deliverance. Hallelujah. His salvation. That is his mercy. Say, give thanks. So when I see what he has done for me in Christ Jesus, when I see what he's doing in the earth, hallelujah, I just say, Father, thank you. Oh, Father, thank you. Oh, Father, thank you. I see light in the nations. I see light in my flow. Oh, Father, thank you. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Oh, his mercies endure forever. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. God is great. And his mercies endure it forever. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, 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 glory. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oof. Look at Psalms 116. We'll close here. Is I will offer unto thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Says, I will offer unto thee. It says, a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. And I will call upon the name of the Lord unto thee a sacrifice of thanksgiving. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Psalms 107 verses 1 and 22. It says, oh, give thanks unto the Lord for his good and his mercies endureth forever. For what? For what? It's a verse 22. And let them sacrifice the sacrifice of what? Thanksgiving. And declare his works with rejoicing. You see that? I mean, when I thank the Lord, it should come out with joy. It will come out with rejoicing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm a Christian every day. I'm full of thanksgiving. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I want us to consciously do something this week. Let's consciously take away two things and replace it with thanksgiving. Consciously, as a church. And then from there, we'll pick it up. Amen. Consciously replace murmuring. That thing that will naturally make you defer to murmuring. Change it. Now, you have to thank God always. There's no timing. Give thanks always. Like you pray always. Amen. Right? Give thanks always. Like you pray always, all the time. But consciously, change. When you are supposed to just defer to murmuring, just thank God. Just a Father, thank you. Rather than murmur, just thank God. Amen. Rather than getting angry, just switch to thanksgiving. Can we do that? Right? You can miss it sometimes. But when you already get angry, you discover, oh, I'm supposed to thank God. Just don't say it has passed. Somebody will say it has passed. Let me just anger the room. No. Amen. No, don't anger. Just stop it there. Once you rage, stop it there. Amen. And learn to remind yourself. We see a brother or a sister or your wife or your husband get angry and say, just remind the person. Right? Remind the person peacefully. Don't, you know, there's a reminder that will provocate the provocations. No. And pastor says you should not, you should replace yourself. I better let me just anger my team. But you can come in low, right? I say, remember, pastor said we can stop it and thank God. Amen. Then you leave the person. Don't say, now stop it and thank God. No, leave the person. You said what pastor has said. That's what God is saying to the person. And then you leave. Hallelujah. And then the person should just lift his or her hand in that anger. Switch. Learn to switch. Amen. Switch and thank God. So the switch you are switching is from the flesh to the spirit immediately. Learn to do that. Learn to be able to switch. Once, because the spirit of God, you must be open to God's spirit for correction. I'm going to teach us that in the coming days. Amen. As we teach on the school of the spirit. I'm not going to have a note for that teaching. Just the school of the spirit. Amen. I will try not to use my note. I just want to flow with the spirit, but I'll have a note. Don't worry. Amen. That I can, because I must have a guide. Right? But I teach you, you see. You must always learn to switch from the natural to the supernatural. Learn. Because many times, the problem is when we're already getting into the flesh and doing some things, and you receive correction from God's spirit. Some of us don't know what to do at that point. Later, we just have forgiveness, you know. Just completely. No, you will then have to just stop it. Amen. Because, one, you are born of God. You always hear God. It's your default conflict. You always hear God. But how would you act? Maybe you're already like Balaam that is going to cause, Balak. One, I was already going to cause the reason. And it was reminded. I didn't even know what to do. Amen. You just know what to do. Amen. Amen. Just stop it in its track. Because you are an obedient child of God. You obey God by default. Amen. You stop what you're doing in the track. And then you just thank the Lord. Hallelujah. You come out of it. Father, thank you. Don't, and take note, when you thank God, don't allow guilt to get into your heart. In the place of thanksgiving, we're going to look at that. In the place of thanksgiving, don't allow guilt. Guilt sometimes can make you want to feel inferior in thanksgiving. To make you think you cannot thank God. That's what I mean. Amen. Take it away. Amen. We thank God. Amen. Amen. We thank God. I know that thing that wants to make you feel inferior, like that makes you think you are not fit to thank God, is not of God. Amen. Amen. If these ones will not praise me, say, I will raise up stones. The Lord will raise up stones to praise me. Hallelujah. So we thank God. Let's go on our feet. Let's thank the Lord.